You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to you all, since I am doing this on this Wednesday, the 41st, the markation of the 41st year that I am alive in this world. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And as promised, we are back and doing it. We have some other things to address that we haven't addressed from things that happened over the last however long. We have the college football playoff rankings. Obviously, have to talk about Ohio State, who struggled with Northwestern. And then we'll finish off with a little bit more on the thoughts about where Michigan is in general, what it needs to do down the stretch. Before we go ahead and get started, this episode of Locked On Wolverines is brought to you by Sling TV. Don't miss this week's matchup between Michigan and Nebraska right here on Sling. Sling, the TV you love for a price you'll love. Try it today. Okay, let's go ahead and get started here. So Michigan came in ranked number 3 overall in the college football playoff rankings. I think that that's about the right place. I'm not that concerned if Ohio State's number 2. They're going to be living off of their reputation for a bit here. But it's certainly Michigan at number 3 sounds about right. That will figure itself out between Michigan and Ohio State, as it did last year, right? Michigan wins out, it's fine. And if Michigan doesn't win out, probably not going to the playoff, you know, partially thanks to the schedule. Also, you know, I know the SEC, Heather Dinich is out there saying, could 3 SEC teams get in, which I think is absolutely absurd. I don't think that the Big Ten has necessarily earned that credo. Maybe it's a reverse, right? Because I remember 2006 very well, of course. I remember seeing some people on Twitter say, why do they call him Urban Crier? Because blah, blah, blah. That's why it was 2006. It was because he was out there lobbying to get Florida in when a lot of people thought Michigan should get a rematch against Ohio State. But it's one of those things where I'm fine with it being a win and you're in, lose and you're out scenario, because I don't like the idea, unless it's just absolutely obvious that Michigan and Ohio State get any kind of redemption from that, you know, losing that game, there's a potential rematch. I'm not the biggest fan of that idea. Right. I want all the stakes to be available for as long as they can be. Once the 12 team playoff happens, all bets are off, of course. But I like the idea that everything is on the table. And if you lose, so what? Right. Like, you're done. That's it. So that said, I think number 3 is fine, but I don't get the feeling that the committee is taking Michigan that seriously. I asked Boo Corrigan, the committee chair, on yesterday on the teleconference following the whole deal, the playoff release, and I asked him. I said, "Is Michigan where it's at because you feel like they've earned it? Because, I mean, it didn't feel like they were very high on Michigan last week. It wasn't like exactly singing their praises either when it was asked about the difference between Michigan and Ohio State. I'll get to that momentarily. But then when I asked, I said, is it because Michigan earned moving up into number 3? Or do you feel like the teams around them, what they did, you know, AKA losing, if you're Tennessee, Clemson, if that's what prompted Michigan to be ranked number 3. And he said, it seems like a combination of both is what it is. It's not one particular thing. You can't just look at a team without any comparable information with the people that are around them. Again, really, really good football team, really talented football team. This has done a good job on both sides of the ball. But as we look at it, as we evaluated it, we had Michigan number three, Ohio State number two, and Georgia number one. Okay. So, but he was asked very specifically about Ohio State and Michigan in the way that, like, how close or far apart are they? And he said, we put them up and we talked about each team individually. We talked about them in groupings to make sure that we've got it in the right area or in the right spot as we go through this. The win over Rutgers this weekend in the second half in particular, the way that they played, they've done a really good job of pulling away from teams. As you look at Ohio State, they obviously have the win over Penn State and Ohio State. And Ohio State has that win over Notre Dame. Both have top 10 scoring offenses, top 10 scoring defenses, and we're going to continue to evaluate it as we move forward. If anything, that non-conference schedule for Michigan has been a factor. I mean, okay, so Ohio State has the win over Notre Dame. Notre Dame is looking better. They're now 6-3. They have some really bad losses, but they have some really good wins. So it's a very streaky, inconsistent Notre Dame team. But it does look better for Ohio State than it did a couple weeks ago. Penn State, I think, you know, Penn State coming in as a top 15 team probably will finish there around the top 10 or whatever. I think that that's obviously a good win for both. But it's difficult to look at Ohio State without looking at it through a prism of where they have struggled. We're obviously going to get to that in a moment because it hasn't necessarily been all good for the Buckeyes. There certainly has been. The last three games for Ohio State have not exactly gone according to what you would think would be the plan in Columbus. But for Michigan, it essentially has, right? Even though there's been like there was a tough, albeit fluky in my eyes, first half against Rutgers. I don't think there's anything fluky about the punt block per se. That was certainly a planned scenario, but it is rare that Michigan's had anything like that. I don't know that they've had any punt blocks for a very long time, to my recollection. But generally speaking, Michigan dominated that game and just had to figure a few things out. Michigan has tended to be a second half team. It's continued to have that trajectory. It's continued to look good in that light. But Michigan, really, the only struggles it's really had were in the first half against Indiana, which makes sense given the Mike Hart of it all. The first half against Rutgers, in a way, the first half against Penn State, even though it didn't really look like that. A little bit in the first half against Michigan State, a little bit in the second half against, first half against Maryland, a little bit in the second half against Iowa. But generally speaking, I mean, these games have not been close. Maryland is the only one that's been close for Michigan. And it was kind of artificially close once everything was said and done because they scored a touchdown after being down 15 with 1 minute left to go to play. It was really essentially over with, barring some kind of crazy heroics. So Michigan is clearly still in a very... I still feel really good about what this team is. I still think that it's still kind of bizarre the way that I feel like they're just there because they're undefeated as far as the rankings are concerned. I don't feel like it's they're so good type of it all. So, you know what? It's not going to matter in the end. It will all work itself out. Win and you're in. That's the way I look at it. All right. So we're going to go ahead and move on. This episode of Locked On Wolverines is brought to you by Simply Safe. Did you know that over the holidays, property crimes like burglaries and package thefts spike nationally? That's why our friends at Simply Safe Home Security are offering 50% off of their award-winning security system so that more families can feel safe and secure this holiday season. Order your Simply Safe system for half off today and enjoy advanced security and greater peace of mind this holiday season. This is why I love it, is because you never know, no matter where you live. I've lived in rural areas. I've lived in the heart of Hollywood, California. And guess what? I've had issues with break-ins at both. Now I don't have to worry about that because of Simply Safe. They always have your back. They're especially the professional service. They have a 24/7 monitoring agent and a wonderful tech support staff. If you have the cameras, that whole situation, you can watch through them using your mobile device with a crystal clear HD live stream. And a high variety of tech, high-tech sensors, so many different things. Simply Safe was named the best home security system of 2022 by U.S. News World and Report for a third year in a row. In an emergency, 24/7 professional monitoring agents used Fast Protect technology exclusively for Simply Safe to capture critical evidence and verify that the threat is real, so you can get priority police presence. Simply Safe is whole home security with advanced sensors for every room, window, and door, HD security cameras for inside and out, smarter ways to detect motion that alert you when only when a threat is real, even hazard sensors that detect fires, floods, and other threats. 24/7 professional monitoring service costs less than $1 a day, less than half the price of ADT's traditional professionally installed system. And with the top-rated Simply Safe app, stay in complete control of your system anytime, anywhere. Arm or disarm, unlock for a guest, access your cameras, or adjust system settings. Don't miss your chance to save big on the only security system I recommend. Get 50% off of any new Simply Safe system at simplysafe.com/lockedoncollege. This is their biggest discount of the year, so don't wait. That's simplysafe.com/lockedoncollege. There's no safe like Simply Safe. All right, let's continue on here. Like I said, I want to talk about Ohio State a little bit because, as everyone says, everyone uses this terminology, these two teams are on a collision course, Michigan and Ohio State. And it seems unlikely that either will lose. Michigan, I think, obviously has a tough game against Illinois. Illinois looks a little bit more mortal after losing to a Michigan State team that looked rudderless for a while here. Shorthanded Michigan State team. You got to probably feel good about that. You hope that they win next week so that at least it's a ranked situation, though good chance Illinois doesn't end up finishing ranked if they don't find some wins elsewhere. Granted, they lose to Michigan, they'll beat Northwestern, barring some kind of craziness. So that would be a quality win, though, still. Ohio State has Maryland. They have Indiana before that, I believe. And then all comes down to the game, but with the way that Northwestern in some ways exposed the Buckeyes. Now, Boo Corrigan was saying, look, we pay attention to the weather. I think it should be more of a ding than being like, oh, the weather was bad, so they didn't play well. Because I feel like a team like Michigan, if that weather is not good, if that weather is the same, Michigan probably still beats Northwestern by 30 points because of how they're built. Whereas Ohio State finds itself in a dogfight because their style of play is completely stymied. I don't remember who said this. I believe it was a podcast listener, might have been a reader on Wolverine's Wire. I'm not really remembering. But they had it 100% right. And it actually could have been Trent. I don't remember who said this. They have it 100% right that Ohio State, in a way, is a glorified Big 12 team. They are a Big 12 team with SEC elements. They are not a Big 10 team. There's a reason why in the Big 10, the preferred style of play is a bruising attack up front, bruising rushing attack. And why things don't necessarily always work when if you're trying to have a high-flying passing offense. Now, you can have that, but you better still have the run game. And you better still be able to bully people up front. Urban Meyer's Ohio State teams was able to do that, right? It's even when they became very pass heavy once Ryan Day came on as the offensive coordinator, they could still bruise people up front. Now, it's an issue if you can't do that in the Big Ten, because this is the Midwest, and for all of the crying and complaining and whining about the snow last year, listen, it snows up here, you know? I have been to Columbus when there's been a snowstorm. The first time I ever went to Columbus, I went, hung out with my buddy down there back in 2012, I believe it was. And maybe it was 2013, one of those 2 years. Giant snowstorm. It was 2012. Giant snowstorm the day after I got there. So we're like going around and having beers and stuff like that. And it's, you know, we're tracking through some powder. So to act like Ohio State, Columbus, Ohio does not get snow, to kind of act like, well, they're kind of an SEC team. Okay, but you're still a Midwest. You're still in the geographical footprint of the Midwest. So plan accordingly. Michigan certainly is it able to withstand elements, wind, snow, all of that. But and that's because they're built like a football team is traditionally built. Ohio State, it's pretty damning if you're in a situation where you are eking out a win against a really not good, bottom of the barrel, one win team. It's one thing if it's a one win team 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks out of the season, but there was a 9-game we know what they are, right? Through nine games, they've won one game. And here they are keeping track, going toe-to-toe with Ohio State. That's an issue for the Buckeyes. So with that in mind, I still feel like Michigan is in an incredibly good position because it comes to those guys up front. Michigan does have some weaknesses, certainly, right? Like, I know people look at the linebackers. I think that they've been fine. They haven't been crazy amazing necessarily. And yes, that could be an issue against Ohio State if Ohio State decides to use the middle of the field a la 2018. But maybe, maybe not, right? They've been more than serviceable, the linebacking core. We'll see if maybe Nakai Hill Green's also ready to go by then, you know? He hasn't been able to suit up. Well, he suited up for a couple games and didn't play and then hasn't even suited up for a while. But we'll get to more about what Michigan needs to do going forward, but it really behooves the Wolverines the way that both teams have been playing to some degree. Ohio State's defense has still been good, but you've seen moments where they haven't been nearly as advertised. Seems like when they've played teams with a pulse, they aren't nearly as good. But, I mean, the same thing could be said of Michigan because we don't know necessarily too much except for that Penn State game. And Maryland, which certainly had suggested that there could be some issues in the pass defense a little bit until they figure some things out. But if Michigan can run the ball and stop their run, they're going to be really hard to beat so long as that Michigan scores in the red zone. That's why it was encouraging to see what Michigan did against Rutgers. I know people look at Rutgers and say, haha, Rutgers. This Rutgers team is a lot better than it's been historically. Certainly, they could find themselves in a bowl game if everything goes to their plan. Their defense is nothing to sneeze at whatsoever. I know Ohio State beat them kind of by a similar score, but their defense is certainly, it's a solid unit. These are scholarship players, and there's a lot of good players. They have some players that I was like advocating for Michigan to take. Obviously, they had a guy who was committed and signed to Michigan in Aaron Lewis. Renee Conga was a guy who I saw at camp was just an absolute beast and was one that I remember speaking with Sean Nua being like, you got to get this guy. So, I mean, they've got some dudes, but it's incumbent upon Michigan to figure out how to be that consistent. If they can get their deep ball going, watch out. All right, we're going to continue on with that Michigan, what Michigan needs to do, the things that we need to see down the stretch in order for the Wolverines to win. But this episode of Lockdown Wolverines is also brought to you by Built Bar. Can we pause for a second? Okay, we're paused. Great, because you guys got to try this. I'm talking about Built Bar's new reimagined flavors, cookie dough topper, coconut brownie bar, coconut brownie topper. I mean, those are all my favorite things right there. White chocolate peppermint granola. Oh, I haven't tried that yet. And that sounds, knowing how good Built Bar is, that's going to be incredible. It's Built steak on the granola bar, so it's more filling, still insanely tasty, and a candy cane brownie puff. Built Puffs are like biting into the universe's most delicious cloud. I can attest to that. First off, for anyone who hasn't tried Built Bars before, they're literally the best tasting protein bars ever built. They're revolutionizing nutrition as we know with 100% real chocolate, 17 grams of protein, and shockingly low sugar and calories. 130 calories. Just sink your teeth into that first bite and it'll change your life forever. I am not kidding. There will be a time before you tried these new Built flavors and the magical, wonderful time afterwards. You're probably wondering which new flavor is my favorite. An unanswerable question to say the least. They're all unbelievable and they're all different. So you can order a mix box and try all five flavors for yourself. Built, you got to try this. Get 15% off your order right now by using the code LOCKEDON15 at built.com. All right, we're going to keep with the unbalanced shows. We've only got a couple minutes here because I have got to run to this press conference and then go do festivities all day. What does Michigan have to do, right? What would inspire the full-fledged confidence to me that Michigan can beat Ohio State? I mean, I am already pretty confident. I picked them preseason. I continue to be seemingly weekly, feel more and more confident about Michigan's chances. It's really just a couple things. Start a little bit faster on defense. You cannot let Ohio State get up by two scores on you. You just can't. Because once they do that, they just let loose. That, I mean, the good news is, though, is that Ohio State hasn't really shown a capability of sustaining through just running the ball or anything like that. But you don't want to F around and find out. You know what I mean? So defensively, you got to start a little bit faster. Like I said yesterday, I would take a 3 to 7 point deficit coming out of halftime, so long as you're getting the ball to start the second half. You don't want them, again, to go up by two scores if you can help it. But otherwise, just bruise and batter them up front. So far, I mean, we saw, if you were on Twitter, that you probably saw the clips of Zach Zinter and Carson Barnhart and Trevor Keegan just abusing Penn State once it was in the third quarter and those guys tapped out. Make that defensive line tap out. Move the Buckeyes off their spots. Make them just not want to do anything. That goes for both sides of the ball, right? If you can, and especially if you can just make CJ Stroud uncomfortable, and now apparently you have to keep contained because suddenly he's learned to run the ball, you've got yourself a shot. One thing I do know, and I can't really divulge it, is that Michigan has some special plans for Ohio State that I really like, that I was told about. Will not divulge any of that because who knows who watches this, but I'm even more encouraged by that. But go out there and play confident. Keep in mind that many of these guys that play for Ohio State have never beaten Michigan. They don't know what that feels like. If you can go out there, play confident, get them into this space where they are unsure of themselves, that things aren't really working, they don't have in the back of their mind like they had in previous years, like 2016, where they're like, well, we've got this because we've always done it. It's a little bit different. And these aren't professionals we're talking about, as much as people might want to joke that they are. So you have yourself a good shot in that light. All right. I got to move on. So thank you for watching and or listening. We will be back with a mailbag on Thursday. I'll put out the question on Twitter sometime today. So we will talk to you then. Peace.